Chapter 13, Individual Consciousness. This is The Master Speaks by Joel Goldsmith. The principle of life, which we all must learn, is that we cannot have anything until we first have the consciousness of that thing. If we were given $1,000,000, we probably could not hold on to it, unless in some way we had developed the consciousness of $1,000,000. The same principle applies to every situation. In order to have a beautiful home, it's necessary to have the consciousness of a beautiful home. Without that, a home would be only a house. We must have the consciousness. This is the principle of life. The principle is consciousness. We must have the consciousness of a thing in order to have the thing itself. The first step in this work is attaining the conscious awareness of the presence of God. There are many ways of doing this. One method is outlined in the Infinite Way book in the chapter on meditation, in which, upon awakening in the morning, you fill yourself with the consciousness of truth, with the realization of God's presence. Then, throughout the day, you should continue to recognize and realize the presence and the allness of God. Whether you are receiving or dispersing money, whether you are eating or drinking, always recognize God as the source. Acknowledge God, acknowledge Christ as the reality of your being. If you persist in that throughout the day and evening, even if for only brief periods, you will find that within a short time, your thought will be so spiritualized that your outer experience will be transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The statement, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me," is enough to make anyone's life a success. If only we could catch the vision in that statement. If we could catch the inspirational meaning, the inner or esoteric meaning of those words, that one statement would be a sufficient foundation for a successful life. Conscious awareness of the presence of God is the first step in developing spiritual consciousness and a life that flows out from the spiritualization of consciousness. Begin the development of this consciousness by taking a statement from the Bible, gaining an actual awareness of its inner meaning through meditation, and then carrying it with you throughout the day. So I'm reminded of, almost 55 years ago, I started with "Thy grace is my sufficiency," and I carried that throughout the day. All day long I would pause, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." At work I would take a deep breath, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." All through the day I'd get on the bus to go to work, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." And something started to happen. Thy grace became tangible. It became the answer to all my needs. Thy grace began to flow as supply. And I realized I had the conscious awareness that grace was my supply. Not my income, not my job, not my savings. Thy grace appeared as my supply. And I came to see that grace feeds me. Grace clothes me. Grace provides for my rent or my mortgage. Grace is Christ. And so I live, yet not I. Grace liveth my life. And that became a reality. It became a living experience, so that I had the conscious awareness that thy grace is my sufficiency. And that's the first time I ever took a statement from the Bible and contemplated it, meditated on it, and then went about my business, reminding myself several times during the day and night. Grace. Grace is a free gift. There are no strings attached. Conscious awareness of the presence of God, therefore, is the first step in developing spiritual consciousness. Take a statement from the Bible. Gain an actual awareness of its inner meaning through meditation, and then carry it with you throughout the day. This works, folks. It really does. Through following this practice, you will soon have a clear understanding of what the Master meant when he said to the disciples, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And what he meant when he said to the woman at the well, But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. I think that's one of my favorite parts of the Bible. Because it's so simple. In other words, this consciousness of truth, this realization of Christ, is spiritual meat and spiritual drink, the spiritual wine and spiritual water. Having it, you can never hunger, and you can never thirst. But each one of us must carry it on as an activity in his own consciousness. Because unless there is this activity taking place in consciousness, just sitting in a chair and waiting for God or for Christ to do something might result in a very long, monotonous wait. It's a simple enough thing to say, I and my Father are one, and to repeat it 100 times. But saying it or repeating it will not make it so. As a matter of fact, it is already true. But even its being true is not sufficient. There must be a conscious awareness of it. And that's true of any truth. You can repeat them, you can memorize them, you can recite them, you can remind yourself 1,000 times a day. But it is the conscious awareness of that truth that makes it real. Realization of Christ means having the conscious awareness of Christ. The conscious awareness of any truth that you're contemplating. When you have the conscious awareness of it, then it becomes, well, it forms itself. The conscious awareness of a truth will outpicture as supply. Humanly, of course, such a statement as I and my Father are one is ridiculous. It does not make sense. But if we can gain the sense of oneness, actually achieve the realization that the I of God and the I of me are the self-same I, that the I of me and the I of you are the self-same I, if we can gain that, we shall have gained the entire demonstration of the Master. It was almost the end of his ministry before he revealed that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now we ultimately must gain that same consciousness. Otherwise, we shall have a life separate and apart from God, a life that can be born, a life that can die, a life that can be diseased, and a life that can change. If, however, we have that life which is God, we shall not experience a change of life, an end of life, or the decomposition of life. If we have the life which is God, our demonstration of eternality and immortality is complete. Now, the next section is called Reality and Unreality. The next thing we must bring to conscious remembrance is the nature of that which appears to us as error. In the metaphysical world, error is understood to be a denial of truth, or the opposite of truth. Above all things, we understand it to be illusion, or non-reality. Many students misinterpret the words non-reality, unreality, and unreal. When they declare that sin or disease is unreal, they believe that that means that the sin or disease is non-existent, and therefore they ignore it, and it eats them up. To say that sin or disease are unreal does not mean that they are non-existent. It does not mean that there is not something appearing as sin or disease, but it means that that appearance has none of the qualities of reality. So remember that. It's a principle. When you say that disease is unreal, it does not mean that it is non-existent, because something is there. But that something is not disease. That something is hypnotism or mesmerism or appearance. The meaning of the word unreality in this sense is not the commonly accepted definition of the word. It is used here as the term is used in philosophy. The word reality in that sense means that which is permanent, that which is eternal, that which is infinite, that which always has been and always will be. In that sense of the word, you would understand instantly the unreal nature of disease. There was a time when the disease did not exist, and there will be a time when it will not exist. It is not real, because it has no substance to maintain or sustain it. It exists only as a finite sense, a false sense, in the same way in which 2 times 2 are 5. but as an appearance, belief, or an illusion. This is of vital importance to us because the whole world is trying to get rid of sin and disease as if they were realities, as if they had an actual existence. The ministry is trying to heal sinners and remove sin. The medical world is trying to remove disease, and sometimes they succeed. But that is not our work. That is not our world. My kingdom is not of this world. If we, as metaphysicians, approach the subject of sin and disease as if they exist as reality, and as if we are expected to do something about them, or to use some power or force to remove them, we are on the same level of consciousness as the material or mental world. Now remember, spiritual work is not on that level. Yes, you cannot. You cannot treat a problem on the level of the problem. Now remember, spiritual work is not on that level. You will find in spiritual interpretation of Scripture and in other infinite way writings a complete exposition of the nature of error, and especially the nature of material and mental belief as distinct from spiritual reality. Let a practitioner begin with the premise that his patient actually has a disease or a sin, and mark my words, he will not be able to bring about a healing at all, because there is not a spark of spiritual truth in any statement or thought that claims that any person has a condition that is not a part of God's being, because God's being is all. If you are going to take your stand on the truth that I and my Father are one, please understand and immediately recognize what you are beholding with your senses is a false sense of reality. So what are we treating, really? Are we treating some person out there that asked for help? No, we're treating the false sense of reality. You are not only watching the tracks come together, but actually believing that they do. In the healing ministry of the infinite way, our standpoint is God. God omnipresent. God omniscient. God omnipotent. God the life of all being. God the spirit and the soul of individual being. Therefore, all is perfection now. We let every belief or appearance strike against that spiritual wall, that spiritual consciousness which we have built. And then we say to any and every form of error, as the Master said, thou couldst have no power at all against me except what were given thee from above. We hold that wall against every belief or appearance that may hit up against it. We do not say, what caused this, or what can I do about it? Our response is, what is there to hinder you? Pick up your bed and walk. Never forget this. If you forget everything else, do not forget this one point. Because you can heal, and anyone in the world can heal. If you catch one single glimpse of the truth that there cannot be God and reality in sin and disease. In the beginning, you may only heal or bring about improvement in the smaller things, or so-called minor things of life. But as you build this consciousness, as you become more and more aware of error as unreality, a non-power, a non-force, a non-existent entity or identity, a substanceless form, then healing becomes a very, very simple thing. All that is necessary after that is to watch that you do not accept any of the world's prejudice or bias. Never believe that this truth is not equally true of Catholic, Jew, Protestant, Hindu, or Muslim. Because if you do not see its universality, you lose your vision. Unless you can see God as the reality of all being, unless you can see that no sin or sickness or limitation differs from another, they all exist as illusion, unless you can see that, you are lost. If you can see that God, in its infinite, eternal omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, is the life of individual being, and if you can be big enough to include the entire universe in that life, then you have begun your healing ministry. But if you accept into your thought any difference or distinction between one race or another, one nationality or another, one religion, one creed, one metaphysical movement or another, then you are lost. There is no distinction or difference. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And the next heading is, consciousness is the substance of all form. God is consciousness. God is your consciousness and my consciousness. God is individual consciousness, and that consciousness is the creative principle of the universe. This truth must be firmly established within us for this reason. As human beings, we have been brought up in the belief that substance and reality are in the world of form. In other words, we have been taught to respect, let us say, for example, money. We love it, hate it, or fear it. At least we have been taught that there is some great value in it, because the world is struggling for it, and struggling hard. It not only wants to have money for current expenses, but it wants to have it to save and put away, very often where moth and rust doth corrupt. There is a sense of security, of well-being, of expansion, when one has enough money. I am speaking now of the world, and also of you and me, before we gain some awareness of this truth, and despite our progress on the path, there may even yet be a lurking bit of the money thought in us. Now I have a checking account, I have savings, and so I have to ask myself, is that what he means by money thought? Well, so far my experience has been not that I have enough, although I do, but when I have extra, I put it into savings because I have seen over the years when that money is in savings, something comes up to spend it. I mean, the air conditioner breaks, or the car needs something, and that money gets spent. Not my plans, but whatever's running the universe. The money shows up before the problem. Before they call, I will answer. Christ consciousness is a state of consciousness in which any form as such, becomes unimportant, in which no attempt is made to get, acquire, or achieve any form, but in which is recognized the truth that whatever and wherever the need is, the answer appears. Well, that's what I just said. Since the place whereon I stand is holy ground, and all of God is here, then God makes itself manifest as whatever form is necessary at any particular time. When you can see this, it would make no difference to you what is going on out here in the world. There would be no attempt to acquire money, houses, automobiles, transportation, or airplanes. Now, I do not mean that we may not have them. We shall have them, and abundantly. There's nothing wrong or sinful about having money, even millions of dollars. There's nothing wrong about owning yachts and diamonds or enjoying all the luxuries that can be afforded. In fact, I believe that we shall have a greater abundance of things and enjoy them as a more permanent dispensation when instead of reaching for them, we stand back and realize this consciousness which is God is the creative principle of all, and it will appear in whatever form is necessary for me at the moment. Now that's something interesting to read, something nice to contemplate. But when you have the conscious awareness, God makes itself manifest as whatever form is necessary at the moment. When you have the conscious awareness of that, well, you have the Word made flesh, consciously. All right. I don't really want a yacht, or diamonds for that matter, but you see his point. The sense of separation from God is the cause of all sin, all disease, all death, all lack, and all limitation. The realization of conscious oneness with God restores harmony, peace, joy, and abundance. Now let's look at that. The realization, making real conscious oneness with God, restores harmony, peace, joy, and abundance. Conscious oneness with God. If instead of attempting to acquire something out here in the world, or believing that safety and security are to be found outside of ourselves, if instead of that we were to gain the sense of God as our individual consciousness, as our life eternal, of this truth as the rock of ages, and then if we relax, we would find our lives unfolding harmoniously every day. If there was a position we needed, we would have it. If it were a home, we would have it. Certainly, as we advance in this consciousness, our business, our home, our relationships will grow progressively better. I do not mean this in the sense of wishing or rubbing Aladdin's lamp and having the earth open with miracles tomorrow. Well, that could happen, but I am sure that has not been my experience. My own unfoldment was a gradual one, a slow, steady unfoldment of this truth. But then I have never been in a hurry. I have not been concerned as to whether or not I gained financial independence yesterday, today, or tomorrow. But this I have gained, even if but slowly. I have gained a consciousness of the truth that God is the spirit and substance of my being, and that God is forever revealing itself, unfolding itself as everything necessary in my experience. I learned the truth from Luke 12:22-32. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give ye the kingdom. And so that is where Joel found the answer to, well, everything, really. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. All teachings that set God apart as something separate from our own being only prolong our search. When we go back to the Master's teaching and find that the kingdom of God is within us, and we bring our eyes down from the clouds and begin searching around within ourselves, within our own being, within our own consciousness, sooner or later we come to the realization, why, I have been looking outside for God, and all the time I and my Father are one. When you discover that and begin to relax, then this law of God begins to unfold. This truth, this substance, begins to unfold. Ultimately, the unfoldment comes that God is individual consciousness, and consciousness is the substance of all form. Then we see why it is not necessary to take thought for anything that we might need. All that we have to do is to touch God, touch the center of our being. Find God, realize God as the consciousness, as the soul of our being, and then learn to let it flow. Now that's the whole secret right there. In this set of principles called the Infinite Way, we learn the principle of letting. Instead of thinking our way through life, instead of planning our way through life, we let spirit flow. It begins in our meditations. Later, while we're walking around, we're able to let spirit flow. Now, This is fabulous. If you haven't done it, you're in for a whale of a surprise. If you have done it, you're content. You are satisfied with his likeness. Now watch this. God is your consciousness. God, your consciousness, is the substance of everything that appears in your world. And God is forever manifesting and expressing itself as these forms. Jesus told Peter to draw gold from the fish's mouth. Could he have done that had not God, his own consciousness of supply, been the substance of what appears to human sense as gold? Moses drew manna from the sky, from his own consciousness. Then his own consciousness of supply must have been the substance of that which appeared to his world as manna. Jesus drew transportation out of the world, but it must have been his own consciousness of the omnipresence of God that appeared outwardly. Your consciousness of good will appear outwardly as your manna, as your water, as your wine, as your meat. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. That's kind of comforting. Christ, God at the center of your being, has meat, something that will nourish you, supply you, comfort you, that ye know not of. That meat is divine substance, and that substance is the consciousness of my being. From now on, when the world says there is not any meat, or there is not any water, or there is not any wine, my realization of this truth, that I have the substance of all form, my consciousness is the substance of all form, will, in one way or another, appear to me as the manna, or the meat, or the water, or the automobile, or the seat in an airplane, or in a bus, or in a streetcar, or a parking space, whatever the need may be at the moment, my consciousness will appear as that form. If you let it. You have to let it. You can't plug this up with outline form in your mind. Well, this is how I'd like to see it come about. No. You must stand aside. What is it Joel says? 6 inches behind and 6 inches to the side? You have to stand aside and let my kingdom come. My consciousness will not attract some form to me from out here in the world. My consciousness will not attract your money to me. My consciousness will appear as money to me. If at the moment it seems to come through you, I can assure you that it is not coming from you. Watch and see if any money you spend for spiritual development ever comes out of your own pocket. No matter how much you spend, give, or contribute, or donate, watch and see at the end of the year if it actually has come out of your pocket. I can tell you from years and years of experience that not one dime of it will ever come from you. It may come through you, but it will not come from you. In one way or another, it will be made up to you. Everything that happens in your experience must happen as a conscious activity of your own consciousness. Unless you consciously bring the truth to your own awareness, the truth is of no benefit to you. It's like having a big bank account across the street in the bank, but not knowing that it is there. You may be a millionaire with a checking account and be hungry in your own home, unless you are consciously aware of the presence of that bank account. So it is with truth. It has to be a part of your conscious awareness, or it is of no benefit to you. Therefore, we have the Master's statement, "It is not simply that the truth will make you free." That is not what he said. He said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, knowing the truth is having the conscious awareness of it. This is the truth of being. But you must know the truth. You must consciously remind yourself of it. You must be aware of it. You must make it a conscious activity in your thought. And then you bring it forth into manifestation. Now that's important right there. If you have the conscious awareness that I and my Father are one, you feel it, it will manifest. It doesn't need your help, it will manifest. If you have the conscious awareness that thy grace is my sufficiency, you will find yourself living by grace. Grace will come directly to you, lift you up, pour out its abundance in your life. And you'll be able to say, "Yes, grace liveth my life. Thy grace is my sufficiency." But the difference is you will have the conscious awareness of it. And that conscious awareness will manifest as your living experience. So the whole secret is having the conscious awareness of a truth, any truth. It will manifest. Now you see, I followed these directions way, way back, 55 years ago, because I must have picked it up in the Art of Meditation, because that's all I was reading back then. I began practicing the principle by taking the principle into meditation. For instance, I come at a moment ye think not. And I had always been taught that that means you better be on your best behavior, because you don't know when he's coming. Of course, that was the religious outlook, because the religious outlook places everything out here. But as I contemplated that truth, as I meditated, suddenly I saw, I come. This transcendental presence comes at a moment you take no thought. You stop thinking. I come at a moment ye think not. And so I took that out into my life and began to remember it throughout the day, dozens and dozens of times. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Grace is my sufficiency. And then at night I contemplated it some more. And it was the last thought before I fell asleep. Now that's what I call practicing the principle. still don't have the conscious awareness of it, but I have the principle and I'm practicing it. Suddenly, I saw grace moving things around in my life. I wasn't doing it. I was there, but I was observing. I was bearing witness to God in action. And it was moving around things in my life. Moving things around. And so I caught a glimpse of grace as my sufficiency. Then I had the conscious awareness of that grace. Now, every truth that calls to you, well, let's say you read something like, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So you contemplate it, you remember it throughout the day, you practice it, and finally comes the conscious awareness that God is pleased by giving you the kingdom. But not you. God is pleased by giving, being the kingdom. God is truth, but God must be known, consciously aware. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." You seek, you search, you make this truth a conscious activity of your being, and then it must manifest. So there's the secret. Are you willing to put in the work? Now, you can't have a predefined outcome. You can't go to God with an outline. "Here, fill this. I give you a cookie cutter in a certain shape. I want you to fill it." Now, we do that when we sit down to meditate, and secretly we're hoping for a cure. Secretly we're hoping for money. Secretly, we're hoping for a companion. You can't go to God with a preconceived idea of how God should answer. Even subtly, you have to go to God completely empty, with an absence of self, with an absence of any concern for self. If you go to God empty, completely empty of self, God will fill you with its being. Truth and its manifestation are not two separate things. Truth and its manifestation are one. Say, your conscious awareness of God, God's Spirit, is, and the manifestation of that awareness, are one. You cannot have truth in your consciousness without having it express as all the forms necessary to your fulfillment. There is no such thing as God and you. There is only God appearing as, or the Word made flesh. There is no such thing as truth and demonstration. Truth, entertained in consciousness, is demonstration. That's a hard one to get a hold of. Truth, entertained in your consciousness, is manifestation, is demonstration. Truth is the substance of all form. Therefore, know truth, and truth will appear to you as the form necessary to your every experience, but it must be a conscious activity of your consciousness. That is why you cannot sit back and say, "Well, I'll let God do it." Yes, it involves work on your part. It involves learning the truth. It involves contemplating the truth. It involves meditating on the truth. And it involves practicing the truth as you walk around. He says repeatedly that we should stop, pause during the day, and take 2 or 3 minutes to become consciously aware of the truth within our being. And he says if we do that, God will manifest as our life. Anything that is in the external world is not permanent, therefore you cannot have it forever. However, once you consciously realize, he uses that word a lot, doesn't he? Conscious, consciously, consciousness. Once you consciously realize that God is consciousness, that truth is consciousness, that truth is the substance of all form. Then, when you have the truth, you have the form, since they are one. Again, we go back to our teaching of oneness. You cannot have truth and a demonstration of truth. You can only have truth manifested or expressed as demonstration. But they are one. Wherever you find truth, you find it manifested as form. For that reason, we have the injunction, pray without ceasing. We have to pray without ceasing until consciousness becomes transformed, until we die daily to the human being that we were, without a sense of separateness from God, until we are reborn of the Spirit, and until our consciousness is filled with the reminder and remembrance of God's presence. Throughout the day, we must acknowledge all of this. Then we bring this conscious activity of consciousness into form as effect, as what is called demonstration. We bring this conscious activity of consciousness into form as food, clothing, home, companionship, and all the other things that are necessary. Never go out and try to find a friend, get a husband or a wife, a bankroll or a business. Do not seek these things. Go within. Now, many years ago, I was sitting at my desk working on a project, and suddenly in my mind came, go within or go without, which simply meant you either go within or you'll go without. All right? So, realize God as the substance of your being, as the real nature of your being. Realize God as law, as life eternal. Realize that I live, yet not I. It is the Christ that is living, the immortal, the eternal Christ within you. Then you find that the conscious activity of your consciousness will appear as all forms of good. Do not go back to your old metaphysics. Do not try to demonstrate something or someone outside. If you catch yourself thinking about wanting something out there, stop it at once. Stop. Do not reach outside, even mentally, for person, place, thing, circumstance, or condition. Once you are on this path, there is not a person, place, or thing that is worth going after in that way, because Should you get that which you are seeking, it would turn to dust in your hands. This is all right for the person not on this path, who thinks that he wants honors, place, position, or money. After he gets them, he still hugs to himself these tatters and thinks he has something in his hands. He cannot see that they have already turned to rags or dust. On this path, however, the moment that you do acquire something in the external, you should recognize that which you have is nothingness, because even a glimpse of this truth makes as nothing the things in the outer world. And yet, nobody in the world can be as appreciative as we are of the good that comes to us when it comes as it does as the realization of this truth. Let's see. 2 years ago, I bought a new car. And I kind of had a little struggle within myself until I remembered this. It's perfectly okay to enjoy the things that come to you, as long as you remember the source. And so it was all a part of God's grace. Thank you, Father. Now I can drive somewhere and not worry about breaking down. The slightest thing, the smallest thing that comes to me, or the biggest thing, I appreciate, I enjoy. I enjoy the good things of life. I like to see them unfold. I like to see them appear, but only for one reason. I know that there is no longer any mental activity or any reaching out to get them. Whatever comes, comes as the grace of God. This form of living is living by grace. This is living without taking thought. This is living so that all life, all beauty, all good come as the gift of God, as the grace of God. It is a beautiful way of living because you have everything to make life full and complete, but you have it only with the love and joy people find in giving to you. You have not taken anything away from anyone, nor have you deprived anyone of anything. But in receiving some good form from or through a person, you rejoice in the knowledge that his own good has also been increased. It is a beautiful way of living, this living through grace. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ now is the invisible substance, and my world is that Christ or invisible substance appearing outwardly as form. The Word becomes flesh. Christ, the law and substance within, becomes the visible or tangible without. Do you perceive the significance of that principle? Do you see its wonder and beauty? Christ, the infinite substance. Christ, the Word. Christ, the infinite spiritual consciousness of my being, appears tangibly and visibly as form. Whatever is going on within becomes visible outwardly. It is not necessary to broadcast it to the world. It is impossible to conceal this good. You cannot hide the Christ. Once you have taken the name and nature of the Christ, and once you have accepted this meat that you know not of as the reality of your being, the invisible substance, the infinite invisible substance, it will appear outwardly in all its fullness, even as the joy and glow on your face. Spirit is reality. Spirit is the underlying substance of that which is permanent, that which is eternal and immortal. If we want eternal health, we want eternal substance and supply, we can only get them as spirit. So spirit, or divine consciousness, now become the reality. If you have a consciousness of the reality of spirit, you do not have to be concerned with forms, whether they come or whether they go. It really makes no difference that Jesus was crucified or buried in a tomb, because his conscious awareness of himself as spirit made him reappear immediately in the same form. The crucifixion only proved the reality of spirit. So with us. Each one of us must remember that it is not too important to try to save our own lives. Our lives are already saved. Your life is spirit. And if for any reason it seems to be lost or buried, do not believe it, and do not be disturbed by it. You will rise right out of that tomb. There never was any grave that could hold the spirit or consciousness, life eternal, the Christ. And so the consciousness of spirit becomes your awareness of life eternal, of life immortal, of eternal substance, supply, and all good. Then let spirit be a reality to you. Begin to see and to feel spirit, out of which you draw your universe, out of which you draw your daily experience. God is spirit, and spirit is soul. Soul is consciousness, yours and mine individually. And out of that great invisible, that infinite invisible, comes all form. So let us make a reality of spirit, and let us stop using the word Christ as if Christ were something of a 2,000 years ago, something separate from us. Christ is still the babe. Christ is still being born in the manger of our human belief or our human thought. Yes, Christ is a living reality, and it is the substance of all form. But mark this, only our conscious awareness of the presence of Christ makes it appear as visible form. And so you must take every principle and practice every meditation until spirit becomes a living reality. Do not think that this is a lazy man's work. Do not think that praying without ceasing means doing a little mental work for 10 minutes in the morning and another 10 at night. Pray without ceasing means what it says. It is to live constantly and continuously in spirit. All right, so the gist of that chapter is spirit is consciousness. And your life, once you know this, once you have the conscious awareness of it, your life out here becomes completely harmonious. It becomes spiritual. It becomes wonderful. It becomes beautiful. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Take the mind off of thoughts about God, and place the mind on the awareness of God, and watch as your life expresses Christ itself, spirit itself formed. Thank you, everyone. I know I ran over a little, but thank you, everyone, for drawing this forth. I love it when I can feel what I'm talking about, when I have conscious awareness of it. So thank you for bringing that out, up and out, and God bless.